Hey, gang. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. National Bugle Radio on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find it at republicbroadcasting.org. You can find me at nationalbugle.com, nationalbugle.com. It's gotten to be a lot more fun on nationalbugle.com. Today, I will be taking calls. That number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. If you go to nationalbugle.com, you're going to find all sorts of stuff. One of the things we have up there is Iran looms large as Congress casts Yemen war vote. You know, we don't talk much about Yemen. When I say we, I mean we haven't talked much about it on this show. We don't hear much about it in the news, but there is this, and has been for a number of years, there's been this Saudi effort to quash, well, you know, Yemen's always had a lot of internal strife, and it was divided between North and South Yemen for many, many, many years. I look at my old globe here right in front of me. You've got Yemen and Southern Yemen. My globe is probably from the 1960s, early 70s maybe. If you look at somewhat newer globes, there was North Yemen, South Yemen. And although actually, I mean, if the funny thing is, it's really east and west geographically. South Yemen was probably a little bit farther north than North Yemen, but, you know, whatever. It was battleground in the Cold War between communists and anti-communists, and it's been a battleground during the Zia Wars between Shiites and Sunnis. And there's a big Shiite population, and the Sunni fanatic, the Wahhabist Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has been fighting this war against the Shiite powers in Yemen. And I'm not an expert on it, so I don't want to talk about it all that much. But there was a vote in Congress, was it yesterday or the day before? The United States, under both the Trump administration and the Obama administration, has been backing the Saudi war efforts. Why? Well, because if Shiites, who I'm not sure if they're a majority in Yemen or not, but they're very sizable in Yemen, and they're very sizable in Saudi Arabia as well. If they gain a foothold in Yemen, it's going to be a base for Iranian power. So this whole business of our involvement, the American involvement in Yemen, is all part of these wars on behalf of Israel. Israel looks at Iran as its main geopolitical rival. You know, the Arab world is completely divided and conquered. The Persian world is not. The Persians, the Iranians, are united. They have a very large country, a very relatively advanced country compared to all these other countries in the region. It's an advanced country, advanced science and technology and economy, in spite of both sanctions and likely, you know, corruption and whatnot. So you've got they are seen as the big geopolitical rivals to Israel, and it seems that everything we do is revolving around that. When I say we, I mean American foreign policy, Zionist-dominated American foreign policy. So you've got Syria. I mean, why is Syria such a big deal? Has there been a civil war in Syria for the past 7 years? Well, because the Syrian government, which is, you know, it has a Alawite president. The Alawites are theologically similar to the Shiites. And it's, you know, it's a government that's got Sunni and Shiite and Christian and what have you participation in it. But it is aligned with Iran, and that's why it had to be destroyed. And you look at what's going on in Lebanon with Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a Shiite organization. And so we're getting all wrapped up in this. And unfortunately, you've got people in the Senate who are bought off by the Zionist money bags, and you've got people like CIA Director Pompeo, who is going to be the next Secretary of State, and all these people look at things through this Zionist prism that, you know, we've got to push back on Iran. Now, Bernie Sanders, who's Jewish himself, and in many ways very, very Zionist, he sponsored a bill that would cut off the American funding of the Saudi war in Yemen. And, you know, does that mean Bernie Sanders is one of us, or that he's our guy, or he's based? No. But you've got lots and lots of people out there, Jews included, who see this as going too far. I mean, Bernie Sanders knows that the American people have just been pushed so far on all of this war stuff. Not that he doesn't back sanctions against Iran. Not that he hasn't called for, including when he was running for president, called for sanctions against Russia to the extent of freezing Russian assets everywhere around the world, which even shocked Bill O'Reilly when he said it on Bill O'Reilly's show. So, no, Bernie Sanders is not the peacenik that a lot of people who voted for him were misled to believe. But nonetheless, he sponsored this bill. And you actually had 44 people in the Senate vote for a bill that would have ended the U.S. support for the Saudi bombing campaign, which is, you know, it's been going on for 3 years. So I wanted to bring that up. And I know William from Montana, if he's listening, he's looked a lot more into this than I have. So I'd certainly invite him to call if he's been listening. But this is what we have. We've got this Zionist hijacked foreign policy. We always have. And the two sides of the debate, basically, you've got people who want to do Israel's bidding. And then you got people like Bernie Sanders, for instance, who are afraid that Israel's bidding isn't necessarily good for the Jews. I mean, I'm going to say that. These are the two sides that you have in debates. And Jeremy from Kentucky, if you're listening, you know, you talk a lot about Stephen Steinlight. And Stephen Steinlight represents a view in the United States, among Jews in the United States, regarding immigration, that if you go too far, too fast on immigration, you're going to provoke a backlash. I used a couple terms for this. There's this, you know, Jewish opinion in the United States, around the world. It's not a monolith. It's never been a monolith. There's this old adage in the Jewish community that you put five Jews in a room and you get six opinions. And there is some truth to it. What they do tend to be united on is the idea that they ask, what's good for the Jews? If you look at my ZioWatch, it's probably in ZioWatch.com also, that's my other website, but National Bugle, I have another article. Where is it? It is... Oh, yes, on the other news side of the page. What does Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State mean for Israel and the Jews? What does he mean for the Jews, right? Is he good for the Jews? And this is a real headline. This is from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. So they ask, is it good for the Jews? This is what tends to unite Jews. The determination of what is good for the Jews doesn't. And I've talked about, Dr. Duke likes one phrase I use that I don't necessarily like as much, but, you know, the crazy Jews and the cunning Jews. I mean, I like terms that might be a little less incendiary, such as cash in your chips and come back tomorrow Jews versus the double or nothing Jews. So the Prime Minister Netanyahu, regarding war in the Middle East, regarding Iran, regarding Syria, regarding Yemen, is what I would call a double or nothing Jew. He pushes and pushes and pushes. And regarding foreign policy, you're probably going to find in Israel that mindset dominating. In America, you've got that mindset too, and people, you got a lot of people like the neocons that are of that mindset. Sheldon Adelson would be of that mindset, but you. Among the diaspora Jews in the United States, there's also another stream, which I would say cash in your chips and come back tomorrow. Don't push it and push it and push it, because you might push too far. And, you know, to the extent that you see what the New York Times would call anti-Israeli sentiment within the American Jewish community. And, you know, they'll talk about – in fact – people point at the New York Times and say, oh, yeah, the New York Times, they might be Jewish-owned, but they're so anti-Israel. Well, there are lots of people, including editorialists for the New York Times, who sometimes think that Israel's pushing it too far, right? And there was, to the extent you had Jewish opposition to war against Iran, to the extent you had Jewish support for the Iran nuclear deal, which, by the way, I think was very unfair to Iran. It was a horrible deal because it was horrible to Iran, but Iran was in a difficult position. It was a, you know, they deal they had to accept. They basically had a gun to their head. At any rate, those Jews think that the United States has, that the population is war weary, that we've been fighting these wars for Israel, 9/11, the Iraq war in particular, this backing for Syria, all of this stuff, and we're getting all this backlash, and it has created a great deal of awareness among the goyim, a lot of knowing among the goyim, and this is something that a lot of what I would consider more cunning, more savvy Jews are aware of, that a maximalist agenda, a maximalist pro-Israel agenda is not necessarily good for the Jews, at least not the American Jews, because it creates a lot of potentially anti-Semitism. And if there's one thing that that is a higher priority on the Jewish agenda than support for Israel, it is the desire to the need to prevent anti-Semitism. That is one thing that they're very much united on. Now, I mentioned Steven Steinlight. We talk about him in terms of immigration. And while we know that immigration is a very, very high priority, open borders in Western countries is a very high priority for Jews, for American Jews, there is a minority opinion that it's gone too far. If it goes too far, the same as it provokes knowing among the goyim when Israel pushes it too far, or the Israel lobby pushes it too far, it's been creating a lot of knowing among the goyim when you've got these Jewish organizations that have been pushing for open borders, Jewish politicians calling for open borders. And, of course, it's not only Jewish politicians, you see. In terms of front people, you'll see, the entire Democratic Party now. And a lot of the Republican Party. But, you know, the worry for people like Steven Steinlight is that you've got more and more people who are talking about Kevin McDonald's book, culture of critique, and in particular the chapter on the Jewish role in changing immigration policy, in passing the 1965 Immigration Act. And by the way, there's a chapter in Eugene McCarthy's book, A Colony of the World, that I often like to refer to. And it doesn't talk about the Jews, but it does talk about the deception of Congress in 1965, how he and his congressional colleagues were deceived into supporting this law, passing this law. Senator McCarthy was a co-sponsor. And he was a smart guy too, but he explained how they were deceived, how they were sold one thing and it turned out to be something else, or not even so much it turned out to be something else, but it contained provisions that people weren't thinking much about. This Family Reunification Act, in particular, the family reunification aspect of it, that wound up being the means by which most of the immigration in recent decades has fallen under that. It's been the means by which people are coming here, by which people from Latin America and Africa and India and elsewhere, China, are coming through this family reunification provision. And it greatly disadvantages whites. But when it was inserted into the bill in order to assuage the misgivings of some Congress people at the time that the change in the immigration law would disrupt the ethnic balance, and so they put it in, say, hey, don't worry, Goy, the only, you know, we'll let people come here if they have family relations, and you know, you don't have any Somalis or Nicaraguans, El Salvadorians or Vietnamese with family relations here, so don't worry about it. Well, no sooner do they do that than they use the refugee resettlement as a means of planting the seeds from which you can get family reunification. But you have people like Steven Steinlein, who on immigration are alarmed because it's going too far, too fast, and the Goyim are waking up. Somebody like Steven Steinlein would much rather wait a generation or two, a couple more generations. Things are going just fine now. We don't have to rock the boat. And people like Bernie Sanders, things are going just fine now for Israel, just fine now for the Jewish diaspora. We don't have to rock the boat. We don't need a war with Iran. That's what you have. And that doesn't mean there aren't some very sincere Jews. I'm sure there are some very sincere Jews who think about things in terms of maybe what's good for America or what's good for humanity. But by and large, what's very notable about Jewish behavior is the ethnocentrism and the tendency to think in terms of what is good for my group. They tend to think in those terms and tend to act in ways that prohibit specifically white people from thinking about or acting in their group interest. That is the crux of the issue that we face here in the United States. So we're about to go off the break. I'll take calls. If you want to chime in, that is 1-800-313-9443. Be back after the break.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. I have some callers. I'm going to go first to John from Tennessee. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Patrick. How's it going?
It's going fine. And yourself? What's on your mind?
I'm doing okay. Well, I think what we want to do is we want to document what this administration does since AIPAC was here like 10 days ago. Because obviously... And I don't want to say Trump personally or whatever, but, you know, some moves have been made, right? Rex Tillerson getting fired. It's been a lot. And we know Netanyahu is a psychopath, and we know that he operates from the mindset of, or at least the Jewish state operates from the mindset of, we have to get them before they get us. So they're all about preemptive war, and Ron Paul railed against that. But what I want to do is I want to say, like, this weekend, all the hype on Twitter and stuff like that was that our military was moving in warships and aircraft carriers into the Mediterranean to take some strikes on Syria. And what I want to do is I want everybody to remember how long was Obama in office before they pulled that first stunt about Assad gassing his own people. Do you remember Obama had to come out and walk along the red carpet and get in front of the microphone with his big solemn speech about how he was going to move our military in against Assad because he was gassing his own people and it was intolerable, right, and bombing babies and all that other crap? It was the same, I'm guessing it was the same time of year that AIPAC or Netanyahu or somebody came into town. You know, Trump's only been president for 15 months or whatever it is, but it's like, okay, you enjoyed your honeymoon, now it's time to get on with the agenda, which is to wipe out those seven countries for the Greater Israel Project. So my guess is pretty soon Trump is going to have to make the call, and he has to go before the American people and make the call that, once again, Assad gassing his own people, you know, or whatever. That's what we should watch for. Do you agree?
Yeah, as far as the timing, I'm trying to remember what the timing was. The Civil War, so-called
Civil War. 2009 or 2010, you know?
Yeah, well, the so-called Civil War in Syria started in 2011.
Okay.
Which would have been after the first midterm election. And the so-called gas attack.
Okay, wasn't it after, like, the second propaganda piece where Assad was gassing his own people, even after Russia stepped in and got them to get rid of all their weapons?
I mean, yeah, I have the feeling that's like August 2013, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, because Putin stopped it. Putin stepped in and stopped us from going in there,
exactly.
And then we went in there anyway. Okay, well, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're exactly right. So Putin negotiated something that was basically face-saving on everybody's side. You know, the Syrians weren't responsible for a gas attack. There was the anti-government so-called rebels, but in many cases invaders, had access to all of these chemicals through Turkey. And of course, Turkey's been involved in this invasion all along. Probably half or more of the invaders, because 80% of the people who were in ISIS they were from outside Syria. And they were mainly entering through Turkey and also through Jordan.
So if the long-term goal is to get at Iran, for Israel, they have to go through Syria. Because I think I heard even on, like, Robert Raybould's program that now was a point of, obviously, you guys been going after Assad for 5 years. You can't get rid of them. You can't get the Syrian army is going to fight for their own country tooth and nail, and they're not, an easy egg crack. So we're just going to carpet bomb and blow that whole country to rubble so it takes some decades to rebuild, and we'll just go right through Syria right after Iran. I mean, strategically, we need to go over Syria to get to Iran. And, I mean, everybody's been at least us patriots have been watching this 5 years. And, that's what I'm doing. I'm just like, what is the next move to really do something to Syria, because they have to sell it to the American people. I know Fox News tries to do it every single morning. They try to sell us, that Assad's a bad guy or whatever, or Iran is making a nuke and, you know, they're just going to shoot it over here and hit Chicago, whatever the hell they're saying. But honestly, they have to, it seems that it's always been like this since 9/11. That they have to get 40% public approval in order for us to swallow it. If we're going to have a giant military shock and awe and blow the shit out of some country, excuse my language.
Yes, we don't speak French on RBN.
And the other thing, let me just say this. As soon as your program is over, RPN listeners should look up VCY America, the Voice of Christian Youth, that comes out of Milwaukee. There's this clown out of Memphis named Brandon House with World Q Weekend. This guy has been hitting the Zio-Christian, Judeo-dispensationalism prophecy crap real hard recently.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to break it. If there's anything else you want to say, you can stick around.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I'm just going to give out our number one more time, 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And I've been talking to John from Tennessee. Are you still there, John?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm fine comment. I mean, I kind of blurted a lot out there. I mean, what do you think?
No, I think you're really on to something. What we need to watch out for is a rerun of what happened in, 2013 after the so-called Gauta gas attack, and what happened last year in April when Princess Ivanka went to her dad with a picture of a baby in a gas mask and insisted that her dad kill a bunch of Syrian airmen. This is what we need to look out for. And this is their tried and true strategy. And of course, it's the same thing that we see in England right now, where they're accusing Vladimir Putin of a chemical weapons attack in London because a double agent apparently was poisoned. Well, double agents don't have a bunch of enemies, really, and they've produced absolutely no evidence other than, well, who else could have done it? Well, a lot of anybody else with a motive and reasonably good chemical knowledge could do it. There's no reason why that had to be the Russians. I don't want to get too far from your point, though, because your point's really important. This is what we have to look out for. Are this kind of it doesn't even have to be a false flag and just be a false accusation.
Well, and as many of us said, even when Trump was running for office, you know, the whole thing was don't vote for Hillary because Hillary's going to get us into a war with Russia. Okay, well, how is that possible if she got the Uranium One deal and the Clinton Foundation made a buttload of cash? So that didn't make any sense. Now, despite the whole Russian collusion ruse and the Mueller crap, obviously the United States is making moves towards war with Russia, which could just blow up in, obviously, Syria. And then what I was saying before that is people need to listen to what the dumb white Judaized Christians are listening to, which is this Brannon House guy who is going around there selling this dispensational Bible prophecy stuff, which is like Ezekiel 38 and the great bear was going to come down on Israel from the north. You know, and they're just like, oh, Russia's in Syria right now. Oh, Russia said they're going to leave. Oh, now Russia's going to stay there. I mean, they're selling all the Christians on war with Russia because Russia was one of the prophetic people that was going to attack Israel. And, I mean, it's not that I can't wrap my mind around it. It's just we can see that the propaganda is so heavy for war with Russia. And then, like I said, when Trump was campaigning, people were saying, yeah, he's the guy they're going to put in there as a quote-unquote businessman to manage our bankruptcy. I mean, $21 trillion in debt is mathematically impossible for us to ever make good on. So they're like, we're just going to have to destroy the country. And then if we say, Russia was in Afghanistan for 17 years, and that led to their collapse and their bankruptcy, well, now how long have we been in there, right, since 9/11? And now we're going to continue on with, blowing Syria to oblivion and then moving on to Iran because, again, the Wesley Clark, the seven countries between the Nile and the Euphrates, I mean, they are way behind schedule on what they're set out to accomplish. And they've got those
seven countries. They have knocked over several of them. They didn't. Syria is still on its feet. But let's see. They knocked over
Iraq. Syria and Iran are the last two countries are the last two countries that don't have a Zionist bank running their currency, right?
Yeah. Now, if you don't mind, I want to go back. I want to go back to one of your comments that I want to take issue with, and that's that, Hillary, the fact that she had been involved in this Uranium One deal means that she wouldn't have been belligerent towards Russia. The thing about politicians in general, but Hillary in particular, is who was it? I think it was Lord Salisbury back in the 1840s who said something like, in politics, there's no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, only permanent interests. And you got somebody like Hillary, and Hillary has been two-faced so many times. I mean, she she was criticized in the 1990s for being friendly with the wife of Yasser Arafat, but of course, did that stop her from being a mega Zionist? No. And, she as Secretary of State had some involvement in the big photo op between Muammar Gaddafi and President Obama, where they were shaking hands and all smiling. And that didn't stop Hillary and Obama from killing Gaddafi a couple years later, brutally, with a dagger up the rectum. You're right. Hillary was involved in this Uranium One deal, and the Clintons made a lot of money off of it. But I don't think that meant that she wouldn't have who knows what would have happened.
Well,
she was very belligerent during the campaign.
Well, it was one of those angles to help steer more support towards Trump, because the patriot community, we were rolling our eyes at Trump as well, going, there's no way a guy becomes a real estate mogul the way he does without having Jewish connections. You just don't build skyscrapers in big cities like that and get people to pour your concrete and do all this other stuff and less. And the same thing, too. People try to have that romantic, oh, well, Trump's a builder, so he knows damn well what happened on 9/11. He knows what happened to those towers. So the guy's turned out to just be a fraud. But on the other hand, we see him getting his arm twisted behind his back going, you're going to be the face of what kicks off World War III, pal, whether you like it or not. And the other thing with Putin, we've been told back and forth, Putin is a big white knight. Well, no, he's also a former KGB. So if he's former KGB, he knows the history of the Bolshevik Revolution, and he knows what Russia is all about and what Bolshevism is all about and world communism is all about. He probably wants to sit on top of the throne if we have world communism. So, I don't like it when Mike Rivero bashes the United States, saying it's the United States that is the empire. It's not us. Israel's got us by the short hairs because I mean, going back to the USS Liberty attack.
Well, Israel, and I think sometimes we use Israel as kind of a pronoun for Jewish power in general. It goes way beyond Israel. I appreciate your call. I have a couple more callers I want to get to. Is there any last thing you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh, no. Good to talk to you, Patrick. I just wanted to have a dump because I think something has kind of kicked this thing off because they're under pressure to kick it off. And the American people aren't going to like it. And,
okay. Hey, well, thanks for your call, John.
Sure.
Okay, next we're going to go to Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Patrick. I've noticed what you were talking about before, kind of the cunning Jews and the crazy Jews. Mm-hmm. And I think America, the two-party system, provides the perfect way to divide and conquer a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we get rid of the two-party system, that's not going to change. But I've noticed you had a great show the other week where I think it was Will from Montana was talking about Saul Alinsky and meeting him. And I think the Jews took over the intelligent left wing or sort of the just normal anti-war progressive types. They took those guys over in the 60s. And they turned the anti-war people basically into anti-white people.
Mm-hmm.
And they installed, they used people like Amy Goodman,
mm-hmm.
Tom Hartman, Noam Chomsky, Bernie Sanders. And they basically push out any other normal, intelligent white progressives, and they have this radical anti-white agenda.
Yeah, you're really onto something. Keep going.
Okay, so then they push any intelligent white guy with pride away from the left wing because they're so horribly anti-white, and they confuse the real issues. So then the only alternative you have is to run over to the other side, and then there you have people like the Michael Savage, Mark Levin, Dennis Prager, Fox News, like your other caller said, the Family Research Council, or whoever those guys are, the ones talking about the Bears, Russia, and the Zionist Christian wing.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done that very successfully. So you have to pick one side or the other, mm-hmm. the radical anti-white side or the pro-Israel Zionist side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they got America just divided and conquered. And so that's
absolutely. And I couldn't have said it better myself. And believe me, I'm trying. this is central. I mean, I'm trying to write a book this year. And I mean, that is pretty much my central thesis, or at least a big part of the central thesis. I talk about there's a Jewish or Zionist agenda, and there's part of the agenda they outsource to the Democrats, the left, the people that you were talking about, and that's their domestic agenda, their anti-white agenda. And of course they have a pro-peace planks in the platform, but the it's basically a rigged game. And on the other side you've got they farm out their foreign policy pro-war agenda to the Republicans. And okay, the Republicans can be nominally against immigration or nominally against affirmative action, but it's a rigged game. You know that the left wing of the Jewish agenda, that the Democrats are going to succeed with multiculturalism and immigration, and they're going to fail in trying to stop wars. And the Republicans, and I'm oversimplifying here, but the Republicans are going to succeed with the wars and fail with trying to push back, stand stand the line on this domestic agenda. It's kind of a rigged game. But you said it better than I did, and I'm probably going to go back and listen to the show and plagiarize off.
Thanks. Yeah, you can plagiarize it. Go ahead. Make $1 million, I hope. That's why I listen to your show and rants, because you guys are the only ones that talk like real, intelligent human beings that are free-thinking people. And because you get in that trap of, like, you're listening to Michael Savage and you just hate liberals. Mm-hmm. And then, but then you realize, well, is it the liberal that I hate, or is it just their anti-whiteness? Because if they were just peaceful anti-war protesters, I don't really have a problem with that. Or someone trying to say, hey, I want to raise the minimum wage, I can deal with that and still be friends with someone. Mm-hmm. But if they chase you away with their extremism, and, you know, and a lot of Americans fall for that, they get you hate liberals so much, but then after a while of doing that, you realize you're voting against your own interests, and there's something wrong with Michael Savage. He's Israeli, not really American. And it helps. It's very scary, because I don't see much help until the Tea Party system's gone, or until more people start listening to Republic and Rents and
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's why it's so important to develop a message, a narrative, and then to get that out there. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're making progress. And I do think, you know, a lot of the Bernie bros, the people who voted for Bernie Sanders, and there were a lot of them are people that really, not all of them, maybe not the majority of them, but a significant amount could come close to our way of thinking, because, you know, So a lot of them supported Bernie Sanders because they thought he was the peace candidate. Well, and he really wasn't, you know. And his agenda is much more on, you know, multiculturalism and things like that, or other things. But, he, you know, and you're really correct in pointing out how people like him, people like Amy Goodman, effectively crowded out other voices. Right. So people could say, oh, yeah, I like Amy Goodman's show. She's got all these people like Noam Chomsky who talk against the Iraq war. But you look at her show, and I studied it. I used to listen to it, and it infuriated me because she actively promoted Jewish voices, and she would introduce them not as Jews, but, you know, as a Canadian, even an Iranian. She'd find an Iranian Jew, even somebody from Japan. Who wasn't even racially Japanese, but introduce him as a Japanese, and, you know, there's some crazy looking Jew that she's got talking.
She's anti-white. Like, she'll do a whole big show of protest about this black civil rights leader that killed a cop or whatever, and how great it is he got out of prison. But then she'll push the same anti-white line against, you know, the protesters in Charlottesville the evil, racist, neo-Nazi protesters that committed a terrorist act. And all. And, you know, I noticed with her show, the way she goes from issue to issue, just jumping from it, it almost confuses your brain to where there's no focus on anything. And it's just cultural Marxism. It's just the fighting, the underdogs fighting the oppressor.
Right.
On every issue. And she scatters your brain to where... After that show, you know a lot of just cultural Marxism. There's nothing you can really remember or hold on to as far as any kind of intelligent movement. So,
well,
psychological warfare almost.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your call, Dan. I want to make sure I get to Jeremy because I invoked his name and he's called me back. But thanks, and please call again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And next we have Jeremy from Kentucky.
Jeremy? Good afternoon, Dr. Slattery. Good afternoon. Am I coming in loud and clear?
Yes, I invoked your
name. Great. Yeah, you know, I was working and I missed the bits and pieces of the first half of the show. I was trying to concentrate, but I couldn't hardly do so. Give me your question again so that I can properly...
Oh, well, I was invoking Stephen Steinlein as an example of somebody, you know, we have a lot of people. I was first talking about the somebody like Bernie Sanders, who introduced a bill to stop the U.S. funding of the Saudi airstrike, or the U.S. support for the Saudi air war against Yemen. And, you know, Sanders in this case would represent the cunning Jew who realizes that we've gone too far with the neocon agenda. And then the same way Steven Steinlight realizes we've gone too far with the immigration open borders agenda, too far, too fast. So when we come back, you can address that.
All right, we'll do it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month, and ensure you keep the truth.
Dancing already. Okay. Jeremy, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, they relate to a lot of stuff brought up in your last three callers. And, you know, you talk about the left and right wing Jews, or the crazy Jews, and the Jews that seem to be a little more thinking this thing through.
Yeah, and they're crazy and cunning Jews on both the left and the right.
They are, but it seems like when everything shifted, the Democrat and Republican Party all shifted to the crazy Jew left side. And there seems to be a new right-wing element of Jews that want to go a little slower. Steinlight is a perfect example of towards immigration. Slow immigration down, give us time to brainwash the immigrants. Well, that's the same in the wars that we see in the Middle East. Everyone, I'm sure, is familiar with the Oded Yinon plan, published in February of 1982 by an Israeli journalist, and they're basically talking about taking over certain countries of the Middle East for a greater Israel. And if you look at the map that they're speaking of, you know, they believe that their land goes from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over and encompasses Syria, all the way over to the Euphrates River, which would encompass Iraq, and go all the way down and take large sections of northern Jordan. That's the Yodad Yunnan plan. And I think that the conflict with Iran is over Syria, like one of your last callers said, because Iran has their own nationalized bank that you and I talked about a few weeks ago, and they lend money to Syria. And Iran would be a major power stopping the Jews from expanding their territory. Now, let's talk about the crazy Jews on this one. Both Hillary Clinton and all of the Republican nominees were talking about shooting down Russian warplanes. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump was really the only one that had the voice of reason in this and wasn't calling for all-out shooting down Russian warplanes.
And Rand Paul, who dropped out early, right. But yeah.
Rand's one of our guys. I mean, he's from Kentucky. I don't agree with everything, but he's okay on some things. But what I was getting at is I think that these left-wing crazy Jews, by starting a war with Russia, they think they could accelerate the war in the Middle East and take and get their Yunnan plan, their greater Israel, faster, because as your caller mentioned out a while ago, they're way behind schedule, mm-hmm. you know, on the seven countries that General Wesley Clark was talking about. So the crazies want to just all-out war with Russia and let's take this land and get our greater Israel. The right-wing Jews are like, no, let's play footsies with Russia and do slower. Go ahead, sir.
You're making an interesting point, because I would have said that on foreign policy, like on domestic policy, the crazy agenda is in the left side, and the so-called Jewish right is the more cunning side. On foreign policy, I would have said it's the opposite. But we've been undergoing this shift in the past, really only the past 2 years, maybe 2 or 3 years, where it is the left-wing Jews that are crazy on Russia. You know, on Israel, maybe not as much, but on Russia for sure. And you might be you have your finger on this new trend that we'll have to see which side, because Bernie Sanders is still on the cunning side with at least with regards to Yemen. And we'll have to see. There might be a big shift, and you know, politics is shifting. It's shifting sand, and yet we have to be alert for these things. Well, thank you for your call and your insight, Jeremy. And
thank you.
Please call back again. That wraps up another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.